Great music package. The story of the Bible is about Jesus, and that song summarizes it. Isn't that amazing? Beautifully. So well done. We were in his mind before the worlds were made. We were in his mind before earth's frame was laid. Because he knew us. And because he loved us. A redeemer for everyone. I hope you have your notes out because you will need them today because I'm following them fairly closely. Before the world began, Creator God planned to have a relationship with humans that would bear his image. That has never changed. With all the beauty of creation and whatever all he's made, and we only know a tiny portion of it in our world, before any of that came into existence, part of the plan of Creator God was that he would have a created being. He would have a created family. He would have humans. And they would be made in his image. You say, what's that like? God's a spirit, so what does he look like? His image is his holiness, is his character, his eternal aspect. Everything else is going to pass away. God is forever. Humans are forever. That was his plan. That plan has never changed. And God has been refused, rejected, neglected, over and over and over again. By individuals, by groups of individuals, by nations. But he has never given up his desire and his plan. He finishes what he starts. Being the just and holy God, he never condones sin. So there's been lots of judgment through the course of time. But he even made provision to take care of that. For repentance. So that he can forgive and restore. Before the world began and he had us in his mind, he knew that humans would reject him and refuse him. So he made provision for us to come back. Isn't that amazing? You parents did that for your children. When you had children, when we had children, we knew that there would be times that they would disappoint us, refuse our counsel, make decisions against what we thought we had taught them well. But we never intended to throw them away because in our mind, I might have thought about it once or twice, but in our plan to have children, we knew that we would always love them no matter what. Sometimes to the point of enabling, but always loving. So why wouldn't God do that? And the only time that's really not valuable to our children is when they just flat out refuse it and go their separate way. And as adults, we have no control of their lives. God respects that with us. Somehow he's able to love us to the max and make provision to us beyond our understanding but respect our will. Sometimes I wish he didn't. Sometimes I wish he would just grab me and stuff me into his will and say, Bill, this is what you're going to do. You can't get out of it. Doesn't do that. Second paragraph in your notes. The beauty of God's relationship with humans was already corrupted by the time of the third chapter of this Bible. That's almost unbelievable. This amazing story of creation and this beautiful world and these amazing humans made in the image of God, placed in a perfect environment, given everything they could ever imagine for provision, refused him, rejected him, neglected him, just for the offer of a counterfeit. It's almost unbelievable. It is unbelievable. By Genesis chapter 3, it's already happened. Good thing the plan was in place before the world began. Or maybe God would have had some second thoughts about the whole thing. He had to judge the sin. He's a just and holy God. He wasn't surprised by what happened. He knew it was going to happen. He's God. So his plan was in place for the next step. Amazing. Genesis 3:15. So much negative as Adam and Eve disobeyed and the blame game starts and the pronouncement of judgment on Adam and Eve and counterfeit God Satan. It's a dark, horrible set of verses. But in Genesis 3:15, the second half, contains a statement of hope that you can easily miss. But it becomes the theme of the story of the Bible. Isn't that amazing? That little sliver of information. Counterfeit God, Satan, you'll nip away at the heel of the offspring of the woman, but it won't be an eternally fatal wound. But the offspring of the woman will crush your head. That is a fatal wound. Half a verse, Genesis 3:15, includes a promise of the Redeemer that was a part of the plan before the world began, and it becomes the theme of the Bible. Because God is determined to have a relationship with humans who are made in his image. And it works for all who will accept and obey. The counterfeit God Satan will be defeated and sin will go away forever. Not true yet. He's alive and well. We're only kidding ourselves if we think the devil isn't around doing his thing. His day is coming. Sin and disobedience dominate much of the Old Testament, followed by humans even rejecting the promised Redeemer, Jesus, when he finally came. So here you have it from Genesis 3:15 all the way through the rest of the Old Testament and through the Gospels. You have periods of humans honoring God, respecting him, enjoying him, believing him, and actually looking like his image in character and holiness. But most of the time that's not the case. It's people rejecting him and getting discipline for it. That's why you get weary reading a lot of the Old Testament. At least I do. Years after rejection, paragraph 3 in the garden, after rejection resulted in their being kicked out, the human race became so corrupt that God destroyed all but one family with a flood. Started over. Because God is determined to show himself who he is through humans. It's part of the plan. It hasn't changed. In time, the descendants of this new family, Noah's family, they became so sinful that God basically set aside the majority of the population and he chose one family, Abram, we know him as Abraham, and his descendants to be his special people representing him on planet Earth to bear his image. The remainder of the Old Testament and the first part of the New Testament is about this family, the Jewish family. That Jewish family, by the way, today, in my understanding, is kind of in a hold pattern because when the Redeemer Jesus came to his own people, they rejected him. When he came in person, and in my understanding, it's kind of like God said, okay, I understand that too. I knew it would happen. And for a period of time, my chosen people, Israel, it's going to look like you're really not part of the plan anymore. They still are because God made a promise to Abraham. But for a while, my offer of eternal life is for everybody. And he does that through the church. And I believe that eventually he'll take the church out and then he'll finish his work with the Jewish nation. So point one, the promise to Abram, later Abraham, included everyone for the rest of time, even though it looks like most of the Old Testament and some of the new does not. And that's where Genesis 12 becomes very, very crucial. God started over with Noah. They messed up. So he kind of starts over with Abraham. And he makes a really interesting statement in chapter 12, the first few verses. Genesis chapter 12, 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. The human population had once again become very corrupt. And God is choosing a family now to bear his image primarily. Genesis 12:2, a promise to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And here's a key. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He doesn't say only your descendants will be blessed through you. I'm dumping everybody else. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You have to get all the way to the middle of Acts in the New Testament to really come to understand what that all peoples really means. So while Genesis 12 through the end of Malachi is primarily about God working with the nation Israel, the Jews, there is evidence that Gentiles are welcome when they believe. God never says no to somebody who chooses to believe. Isn't that exciting? His primary focus was on this one nation, and he guides them, and he counsels them, and he protects them, and he disciplines them. It's all about the Jews. But every now and then, there's a non-Jew that catches on to who God is. Rahab, not so commendable career, but a heart of faith. And she said to the spies when they went into Jericho to check out how to take the city, to go into the land, she said, I've heard of your God. I believe him. And she's included in the human line of Messiah Jesus. Amazing. And Ruth, a book named after her, from Moab. She's a descendant of a family started by Lot, who his daughters got drunk and had children by his daughters and the Moabites. Beautiful story. Ruth and Boaz, also included in the line. God always welcomes someone who's willing to believe. Never forget that. And it was in the plan of God that it would be so. The beginning, and this is so fun, point three, the beginning of the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, remember, a promise of a redeemer, is what we know as the Christmas story. The promised redeemer arrived in Bethlehem. In these next few weeks, we will see all kinds of nativity sets. And they'll have a variety of people and animals there. They'll have some character people and animals that you'll have a hard time finding in the biblical Christmas story, but they're fun. I completely shattered one of my youth leaders years ago when I said that the donkey is not mentioned in the Christmas story. She took me to task. She was emotional. I hope she's forgiven me. It was a lot of years ago. And I think there probably was one. And there's one in our nativity set. But the focus is on the manger or the feeding trough with a baby in it. And if that's not there, if he's not there and we don't understand that, then we don't know what Christmas is all about. And it started in our world in Genesis 3:15. Isaiah said, he will enter our world, Emmanuel, God with us. What a plan. Outlined before the world began. Number four, the rejection of God's plan and his desire for a relationship with humans continued even with Jesus here, the God-man. Because that baby grew to be a man and entered a ministry and claimed to be God and did things and said things that only God can fulfill. And not only that, if the religious leaders who had access to the Old Testament scrolls had done their homework, they could have figured out that this Jesus was on time, as predicted in the Old Testament. And they rejected him. Because for the most part, humans have been rejecting him and refusing him and neglecting him all the way back to the first two humans in the garden who listened and followed the voice of the counterfeit God. And God doesn't give up. When the Jews rejected their Savior, God fulfilled the promise to Abram that from him all families of the earth would be blessed. And you don't have to read very far beyond the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus and promise to come back and find out that this age of the church is for everybody. The fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that through him all peoples would be blessed. He picked out a family for a time to accomplish his goal, knowing that eventually even they would reject him, and that even when the Redeemer, the God-man himself came, they would reject him. But God didn't give up on his plan, because he's determined to have a relationship with humans that want to have a relationship with him. And he planned it before the world began. And you get down to the middle of the book of Acts, chapters 13, 14, 15, and the Jewish people are all hung up on the fact that they thought Jesus was only for them, and they had to learn that the promise is much bigger in this day. Amazing story. So Jesus, he's the Redeemer for everyone. The story has amazing pieces, and some of it's hard to understand. At least for me it is. And honestly, sometimes some of it seems unfair and harsh and brutal. But if you keep the big picture in mind and realize that before the world began, God charted it out and he knew what would happen, and he made provision all the way to the end of time for humans who wanted to respond to him, who would understand the gift to be a part of his family, and bear his image on planet Earth. And that plan continues to be fulfilled. Sadly, people who reject, they're eternal also. Which to me is the saddest part of the whole story, because it's very positive to realize that all who respond to God, to Savior Jesus, are declared his child to be with him forever in all the bliss of whatever it is to be in heaven with him. Eternally, forever. And all who reject are also eternal beings who are choosing to be away from God eternally, forever, in a place called hell. Boggles my mind. But it's biblical. God so loved the world. God so loved us. God so loved me. They gave Jesus that whoever would believe him, trust him, accept him, would have everlasting life and be delivered from the penalty of sin and enjoy life with Creator God forever. And we were in his mind a part of that plan before the world began. Because he loves us. Father, the story is so amazing that I'm fearful of messing it up with anything that I might say. So your Spirit takes your truth and brings it to each of us and accomplishes what you have in mind. And may that be true today. Thank you, dear God, Savior Jesus, Holy Spirit, for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Redeemer. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.